I started this week, after reading these scriptures, thinking a whole lot about fasting, and so I had a lot of thoughts about sharing with you the meaning of and the history of and our personal experience of fasting. And then, as God usually does, after I had the whole sermon written last night, I'm going, no, I'm not supposed to talk about that. So I spent last night and this morning rewriting it instead to talk about wilderness, talk about wilderness experiences. In this first Sunday in Lent, we read about Adam and Eve falling into the temptations that were being offered by the serpent. And this really was the setup that resulted in them getting kicked out of paradise. So here was God's plan to just be with them, just to walk with them in the garden. But they had other visions of what they wanted to set as a higher priority. And so they ended up being placed into the wilderness, outside, away from paradise. God had drawn a line in the sand with Adam and Eve, and they decided to cross it. And obviously their sin really wasn't about eating apples. It was something a lot bigger than that. The apples were to represent this ability for them to receive the knowledge of good and evil that belonged to God. And they decided that they were going to test the limits of God. And they wanted God's wisdom. And that brought them to, drove them into the wilderness. That doesn't mean that they were abandoned by God, though. We need to realize that, or remember that Adam lived to be 930 years old, if you read that in Genesis. So he had a very blessed life. He had tons and tons of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and you and I are all related to Adam. So there was lots of blessing in his life, but he had failed the test of commitment to being this companion to God, and it changed things. When Jesus was baptized by John and then by the Holy Spirit in the Jordan River, a voice came from heaven that all could hear saying, "This is my Son, with whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And so this was really a pivotal time for Jesus because he'd spent 30 years so far discerning his call to do this thing, right? And so it was really baptism as this mark to say, okay, it's time for me to go public and do this. And so the baptism was a sign of that. Certainly God anointed his ministry by the words that came from heaven. And then what it says in the scripture reading today, God the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. So this is God who led Jesus into the wilderness to meet up with these temptations and to see what his commitment was to living the role that had been set in place by God, namely for him to take on his humanity and hang up his divinity. And so all three of these tests that Satan put him through were to say, you know, you have this divine nature, you have the power to turn stones into bread, you have the power for the angels to protect you, you have the power over all the kingdoms of the earth, claim it. But if he did, this was before he'd started his public ministry, right? So it would have prevented him from doing all those things because he would have taken on his divine nature fully and not lived into this human nature that was such an important element for us to see a real, live, living, breathing, eating, sleeping human being who could teach us about God's nature of unconditional love. Well, the Israelites spent lots of time in the wilderness too, right? 40 years, in fact, on their trip from Egypt into Canaan, the promised land. And it was a very important time for them to understand what it meant to be the people of God, what it meant to practice a godly life, and to be ready for that life in the promised land. So the wilderness for them was really a time of learning and of testing. Think about John the Baptist. He actually lived in the desert too. He was not a city dweller. He got out of Jerusalem. He couldn't stand the dysfunction and the crowds of Jerusalem and of the temple there. And so he's known, it's believed that he was of the Essen community that lived in the desert. And they specifically chose that lifestyle to be an ascetic, to sharpen their focus on a godly life. Another case that we should remember is in the 3rd century, the desert fathers and mothers who left the cities and went out into the desert in Egypt. And they, too, had the goal to sharpen their focus on godly life. So throughout history, we see that the wilderness has served as a place of challenge and learning. Well, there are other forms of wilderness other than the desert. I thought about a few of my own. And I think we all have our own list of wilderness experiences. I recall after leaving my little hometown of 1,800 people and struggling to get through the first few years of college because I was totally ill-prepared by my school to be in college. So after my first semester in freshman year, being on academic probation, I learned, I better learn how to study. So then I got on Dean's list. But anyways, that was only a minor wilderness experience. But after I had gone through all that work to get an engineering degree, spent 5 years in engineering, I found out I hated engineering. And I thought, what on earth am I doing here? I am bored to death. I hate this. I'm stuck at a desk all the time. And I just need to make sure all the to and from wiring lists are hooked up together, like, help. And so I remember looking into being a veterinarian, but then I found out that required organic chemistry, so that ended that one. I looked into border patrol, but I had to be bilingual in either French or Spanish. That took care of that. I looked into buying a TV repair business. That's back when they had tubes. And really. And that didn't work out. Excuse me. I looked into being a patent attorney. I looked into anything to get to that next step. I never felt so just weighted down by the despair of hating what I did. I needed to find my next step. It definitely was a wilderness time for me to figure out what to do. So then I figured out, I can open up a branch of my parents' RV business. I'll get out of engineering. I'll go do something else. So I did. It lasted a year and a half. And then the fuel embargo came along. I think I've mentioned this before in a homily when there's odd and even rationing, depending upon your license plate number, whether you could fill your car with gas or not. And so that overnight shut down the RV business. And the only job I could find was a night watchman. So here I had a bachelor's degree in engineering. I had experience as a systems engineer, and I was punching a detex clock, walking through oil tank farms. And I spent all night, every night, going, God, what is the next step? There's got to be another step. It was definitely a wilderness time. Finding that was the only way I could have enough income to buy groceries for my family. Okay, well, one more wilderness time that I wanted to share with you is all that led to my getting back into engineering, but a different branch of engineering. And I ended up getting in my own consulting engineering business, and I was working 50 to 60 hours a week running computer simulations. At the same time, I was commuting 3 days a week to go to seminary, three-quarter time. At the same time that I was supporting Ruth, taking her to chemotherapy treatments and radiation treatments for her breast cancer. Definitely a wilderness time. And I know that all of us have lists even longer than that of wilderness times that you and I experience. But they serve a purpose of us learning about our relationship with God and testing it out and growing. Paul said in the reading that David just did such an awesome job reading, Paul isn't so easy to read. And let me just take one sentence out of that passage. Just as by the one man's disobedience, which was Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, which is Jesus, the many will be made righteous. So Paul had this track he was developing in this part of the book of Romans of the two Adams, and one Adam whose goal really was to take on the wisdom of God, to cross that line in the sand that God had drawn, and to want to be as wise as God. And then the obedience of the second Adam of Jesus, who said that nothing will change my commitment to fulfill God's plan. It doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter what I have to do. I am going to fulfill the commitment I have made to fulfill God's plan. Well, you and I are the recipients of Adam's genes, and we're also the recipients of Jesus' spirit. We have those two elements at intention inside of us, the genes of Adam, the spirit of Jesus, tugging at us through our lives. And the Adam in us is tempted to play God, and the Jesus in us is even more committed to fulfill God's plan. And the way for us to get through our own wilderness experiences is to remember the fact that in the Garden of Eden, God never abandoned Adam and Eve. And in the life of Jesus, God never abandoned Jesus. And in yours and my times in the wilderness, God never abandons us. God never abandons us. So on Ash Wednesday, I handed out some pocket crosses that I wanted to have each of you have to remind you of this theme for this Lent. So if you haven't already gotten one, did you already get one? Okay. I am with you always. I am with you always. Think about the context of when Jesus said that. This is the very last couple of sentences in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is about to ascend to the right hand of God. He gives the great commission, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you to do, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I wasn't mature enough in half of my wilderness experiences to know that, but now I do. And I want you to remember it. And I'd like you to just use this cross in your pocket or your purse through the 40 days of Lent to just remember that Lent can be a time for us to think about this tension living in us of Adam's will to be godlike and Jesus' will to fulfill God's purpose no matter what. And that is a tension that just is in us. It's part of our human makeup that both of those elements are there. But spend time reflecting on the wilderness experiences, the wilderness times in your life. And then whether you see where God never abandoned you. Consider what your response to God should be. And as your pocket cross will remind you, Jesus is with you always. Amen.